opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. If you're going to be buying a home, you need a good team. They can help you make sure you're making the right decision and that you're getting everything you need. That's where they come in. If you're selling a home, you want to make the most money for it. That's the idea. That's the goal. So make sure you reach out to my friends and our friends at the Live Love team to make sure you do just that. They have seen every situation, good, bad, indifferent. They'll be able to help you get into the home of your dreams. Reach out. So to LiveLoveMemphis.com.
They are the best. Jennifer Carstensen helped me in 2018 tremendously. She changed my life literally and helped me get out of the home ownership situation I was in. It was a bad one. She's gotten folks out of bad ones like I've been in. She's gotten folks out of good ones. And a sense of getting you top dollar for your home. That's what she's going to get on both sides. She's done it in every market. So if you're making a call, of all calls, please call the Live Love team. If nothing else, she'll be a great resource for you. 901-625-5200. Not going to make you sign any contracts or hold a personal, some sort of personal attack if you decide to go in another direction. It's all love with the Live Love team. She wants to get folks into great situations, great ownership situations. She's not going to put you in a bad one. So, again, make the call, 901-625-5200. Get that Live Love sign out in your yards. The Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Typically, especially when this weather is like we're having it today with these blue skies and the temperatures gorgeous. Nothing like what I'm going to see in Chicago later in the week, by the way. It's really nasty. I like to pull out my big green egg. I open it up. I pull out the burgers that I've padded out just like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club. As a very young man for the white folks. As a Red Room waiter. But I season these differently as an older man now. I season these with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do respect burgers. I just want to say, it just occurred to me with that wonderful, regal opening again, Brad, that this segment feels much like Ernie Johnson's. You don't, on TNT, doesn't he have one that's like a segment that isn't sponsored and they kind of make fun of it? That, you know, it has a jingle, right? Do you know?
Yeah,
that, you know what I'm talking about. He does a segment.
I
like
don't
Ernie's
remember the
Nuggets
segment. I should.
That's not sponsored.
Yeah.
And Respect Burgers for the entire time.
Well, there's other stuff not sponsored, but that one is available for sponsorship.
Is the point is that we have carried on.
Yes.
Despite, right? No sponsors coming to its aid, and so I would say that while we will continue to do that, I would welcome, and I think our program director would too. Sponsorship.
Love it.
Because, again, I don't have to. I think Ernie might have gotten himself a sponsor. Mm-hmm. You know, it took him years to do it. Doesn't have to take me 20.
Well, and it could be a lunch place would be a perfect pairing for it because of the food.
Now, I'll probably have to take out the part about the country club and white folks. I can do that. Understand that I can do
flexible.
We would welcome you. I'm very flexible. Mm. I don't have to tell my personal story. You understand? Mm. Would welcome that. I don't have to be Ernie forever. Okay. Moving to Respect Burgers, we have to give one. Speaking of white men, Rory McIlroy. How about that? The 35-year-old, we act like he's 55 and was running out of chances on this thing or something. But no, there is a pressure that comes when you're trying to finish off that career Grand Slam, and especially for a guy that started off his career like Rory McIlroy did. He got crowned essentially as the next Tiger, whether it was Nike or the world and everything else. And so to see him yesterday finally get this win in the Masters and complete this career Grand Slam, becoming only the sixth man to have done it. Yes, Brad, I'm very familiar with his history. In fact, you might think I'm a golf fan with as much as I know about Rory's win. Tiger Woods, the last. He finished it off at the 2000 Open. But that's a list that also includes the Bear, the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Ben Hogan, and Gene Sarazen, who you had to go way back to the 1935 Masters when he completed it. So this is an elite list that Rory McIlroy now joins, and he obviously yesterday beat Justin Rose in that first hole of a sudden death playoff to win it. You saw him very emotional right afterwards in terms of finally getting it done, a sense of the pressure that it feels like that he must have faced. He's been known as a choker at this point. He's, you know, last I think started off yesterday. He's got the lead, starts off with a double bogey. And so I'm sure much of the world saying, oh, Rory going to do it again. He's going to blow it. And you have to think, I mean, all the pressure that comes is sort of with that. It wasn't a guy who had never won the big one because you're trying to complete something only six men have done. You've clearly won majors before, but you had not won that Masters. It clearly was a monkey on your back. And Jeff, I thought, brought up an interesting discussion. I'm not sure how many guys they came up with. I'm curious, John, off the top of your head, real quick, guys that haven't been able to win the big one. Jeffrey Wright mentioned Steve Young. And when he said his name, I thought about it. You're coming behind Montana, right? And Steve Young actually did a monkey off my back when he finally won the Super Bowl. You could tell there was a pressure on him coming behind Joe Montana, maybe in a way that, you know, Rory sort of felt this pressure as the next Tiger. Andy Reid, it felt like for a time before he got the Super Bowl, right? Because he was kind of that guy in Philly that wasn't going to give them over the hump. Can you think of any just off top of your head? Again, it's different for Rory because he had won majors. You're trying to do something that only very few have done in winning the final, but he could not win the Masters up until this weekend. Anybody in terms of that, athletes that just couldn't get over the hump but should have because they were so talented? You know,
I don't know. I think you kind of hit them all, yeah.
I mean, those were some of the suggestions. More, I thought that was an interesting conversation. But Rory was along those lines in terms of how the world had really kind of written him off on he was never going to get over sort of this Masters hump. But so even if you're not a golf fan, much like myself, you have to respect sort of this. I mean, he was going to, my gosh, I mean, he again, it wasn't like this was his last chance. He was going to get more and more cracks at this at some point. You figure a golfer as good as he was is going to break through. At some point, it's going to be your year. But it felt good seeing the video of him putting on the green jacket because I know how much it meant to him. There's videos of him as a little boy saying he was going to win the career Grand Slam. So this is the kind of stuff that you tell yourself as a kid you want to do. Very few of us realize even come close to having the talent, much less the work ethic, to get to that kind of childlike dream. Then you get there, you got three of them, you just need the last one, and man, every time you go out, you choke down the stretch. To finally get that, I mean, that's a level of accomplishment, you know, in terms of filling out that childhood dream that most of us will never realize. And so for all of that, I was happy for Rory McIlroy. Nothing but respect for him getting that win, even though I told my dad, who is still, I was asking him, man, who's your guy now that Tiger's gone? He's like, well, it would be Rory if he could win the Masters. Like, I could get behind Rory, you know, at 35 years old. They got it done. I told my dad he was going to choke. Well, good for him that he got it done because I was the world yesterday saying that Rory was going to blow it. Moving on, a organization and team we talked about earlier when we were talking first hour, not the Grizzlies, but when we were talking NBA, the Los Angeles Clippers, respect to them for the way they've gone about this season. Now, this could be just some of my gut talking in terms of feeling like they right now are lurking in the Western Conference and maybe the biggest threat to OKC, but they went 9-1 over their final 10 games. 17-3. You know, a lot of, you know, John was talking about how good Golden State's been since the trade down, and they have Lakers, you captured the 3 seed, you know, since the trade down, you get Luka, and they have, what we haven't talked a ton about is the fact that the Clippers are 17-3 in their last 20 games. Finished the regular season in 5th at 50-32, same record as the 3rd seeded Lakers, and John mentioned it yesterday, Harden was huge for them, hit 2 3-pointers consecutively, pair of free throws. And also scored Jimmy Butler's goaltending to finish with 39-10. Kawhi had 33. I went back and looked. It's a season high that he tied with that 33. He's clicking at the right time. And yeah, they captured the 5th seed and a date, first round date with Denver that I would invite if I'm the Clippers. I'm sure they are too, even though Denver's going to have home court advantage in getting that 124-119 win again. It's not just what they've done last 10. It's what they've done last 20. You're going to play Denver here for you. Split the season series 2-2. Kawhi didn't play in any of those games. I went and looked.
Yeah.
Would then likely, right? Let's say they go with Smooth's gut here, and they said somehow they find a way to beat Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. They would likely get OKC, just assuming OKC is going to take over, you know, dispatch whoever the 8 seed is. And they swept the Clippers 4-0. But Kawhi only played in one of those 4 games. And the one he played in against in that game against OKC, they lost by 2. He had 25 points. It was much more competitive. They have done a great job. The dude's only played 37 games. But he's played in 21 of their last 25. So they have done a great job of sort of giving him the blows, but now ramping him up at the end and kind of you know, the stretches have gotten longer and longer. And you saw, again, last night, he's able to score 33 points and match that season high in a game against Golden State that nets them the 5 seed. So I maybe it's just because of the way they've sort of flown under the radar. I know in Memphis it's probably blasphemy to say anything good about the Clippers just because of the history between our franchise and theirs. That was a different time. What I like is that this team – you know, with its vets and having to be as careful as they do with right now with Kawhi and with James Harden, boy, they had a plan and they went out and executed it. And it feels like, again, Kawhi could go down tomorrow. I mean, that's just where he is at this point in his career. But it feels like they've got a chance to make a push, and they've really gone about a great job in executing this plan of theirs to get everybody right there high level. We said it, Norman Powell, career year, should have been an All-Star. Zubac's playing well. Harden just showed you last night. He's having a good season that nobody's talking about. And now you got Kawhi, you know, giving you 33 last night. So I like the Clippers in terms of the way they've handled this season, getting Kawhi ready for the playoffs, looking like they've got a shot at a run. And again, if you look at the matchups, you know, Kawhi didn't play in those in those Denver games, and OKC, the one he played, it was close. So I think OKC's got a chance to make a push. Remember, that the Clippers have got a chance to make a push here and have to go about. I respect the way they've gone about their business. Moving on, something we've touched on. I think we started second hour with it. I think Tennessee made the right move, moving on from Nico. Listen, Josh Heupel, I think, said it best. He said the program's been around for a long time. There are a lot of great coaches, a lot of great players who came before that, laid the cornerstone pieces, the legacy, the tradition in his Tennessee football. Got a little airy there, but his point is it's going to be around for a long time. After I'm gone, that's the part I like the best. You know, Josh Heupel knows darn well he ain't the end-all, be-all when it comes to Tennessee football. The more you realize that as a coach and a player, I think that typically that's the smoother things tend to work out better that way. When you're putting the program first, I think in this case, Heupel means it. Now, he wasn't going to let Nico continue to strong arm them. And I say continue to, if the reports about last year, Nico won more for the college football playoff. Oh, me and my agent made a deal for this many games, right? We didn't include another game with the college football playoff. Where's more money? You know, if Nico and others on this team are doing, that's a threat. It's a threat to your locker room. It's a threat to your chemistry, especially when the guy is not elite. When he's not Tom Brady, when he's not Patrick Mahomes, when he's not, I guess, Arch Manning, kind of the way we've all thought he's going to end up panning out at Texas. Could end up being wrong about that, but I don't think we will be. Nico is not that. He hasn't proven that he's that yet, throwing last year for, 2,600 yards. Was not elite. Again, not all his issue last year. They were a run-first team, and that offensive line in terms of protection wasn't great. But I think Tennessee made the right move. You do this, you change up what you're paying him when he's trying to strong arm you at every turn. You're going to have everybody, every good player in that locker room trying to come get more. You'd be opening up, as we phrased it, Pandora's box. So I think they went about this the right way. Listen, I'm pro player getting your money. We always have been. I don't think that stance will change on this show. But at some point, there has to be a line. I wonder, with Memphis, are you running a, you know, you have to be very careful with P.J. Haggerty. If there is not a, maybe it's an imaginary line, but if there is a line where, you know, too much is too much because you can't put together a roster around him that would be nationally competitive, might be better served to spend that $3 to $4 million spread out or on two players or whatever else for the better. I do think that you get to a point where too much is too much. But the market is set. And so, listen, if JT Toppin can get between 3 and 4, I'm not going to fault P.J. Haggerty for asking for that or for more. But it could put you in a spot where maybe you're, you know, in a – but again, P.J. doesn't feel like – he's not strong-arming you like it felt Nico was. But I'm just saying those lines for athletic departments across the country will have to be decided, and they'll be decided by, frankly, how good the player is. Because Lord knows if you're the guy that it all hinges around, they're going to pay you. And who they are and sort of what the future looks like going forward if they go up that much. We shall see. Moving on. Brad, you knew I had to do it. I've waited for a while to make sure I've got enough sample size, and I will not mention the team in red because I'm not going to jinx it. But the Cubs offense and all the people that told me, listeners, friends of mine, that told me, they said, Smooth, this is the year for you to get back invested on Cubs. That's what they told me. I said, I don't want to hear it. I said, I've been out since 2016. Don't give me this. We're not serious about putting together a winner. Oh, was I wrong? And at least offensively, again, not going to jinx this because we're not going to mention the team in Missouri that wears red in comparison to what the Cubs are doing. But I want y'all to know that we beat the Dodgers 16-0 on Saturday night. And the reason that's significant is because that was the Dodgers' worst home shutout loss in their history. Brad, how accomplished, how long that Dodgers' history, mm-hmm. never been shut out at home by that many. John, you heard it, 16-0 we beat them. Finished off the series yesterday by beating them 4-2 to take the series, take 2 out of 3 from them on the road. Cubs leading the NL Central, and let me tell you this. Go look at the standings. Mm-hmm. There's a thing called run diff. It's run differential. Yeah. How many you're beating everybody by or losing to everybody by. The Cubs are plus 43 in run diff. Mm. A league high, 116 runs scored. That's 6.8 per game, Brad. I know you're listening closely.
I'm listening. I'm studying your team as you're talking about them.
As your team continues on its trajectory. Allowed 73, so that's second fewest in the division. Again, that run diff of plus 43, 13 more than anybody else in Major League Baseball. Padres are second at plus 30. Nobody in the AL better. Now, again, I am not going to jinx this by discussing Brad's team. I wish them the best. I've done this before and got in a little play about his Cardinals.
Yes,
a little sort of disrespect dog. What do you call that? What do you call passive aggressiveness?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you call it when
sure.
I get in a little shoddy?
Little shot.
Not going to do it.
Well,
not going to do it because this train is going to continue. Now, we just lost a pitcher, Justin Steele, for the season.
Yeah, he's out.
The guy had just thrown like 7 scoreless against the Rangers.
He was killing it. Sorry.
Former All-Star.
Yeah, great player.
Like 5th in Cy Young voting a couple years ago.
Had Tommy John a few years back.
So that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that'll hurt.
But this respect burger is for the offense and for the people that told me, Jason, this is going to be fun.
Congratulations to you.
Tell John how good Tucker is, Brad.
I mean, they all look good.
The brother
good.
We got from the Astros, Justin Tucker. All-star. Right now, MVP-type numbers. Too early to have that conversation. But, bro, I haven't been this giddy since 16. And let me tell you what.
Wow.
So giddy that I might brave 50-degree temperatures and a chance of rain and go to Cubbies on Saturday when they play Diamondbacks. I'll be in Chicago.
Okay.
for the grown man, the grown man bachelor party, Christian bachelor party. That's what you do. You don't go to games.
You don't go to clubs.
You don't go to clubs.
No.
You don't go to strip joints or anything like that.
No.
Go to the game. Problem is, Brett, there's a 50% chance of rain and a high of 56. We know the 56 there off Lake Michigan ain't 56 in Memphis.
Cold.
It's a different right. Folks have got hoodies on. They're bundled up.
It's the Windy City, Jason.
But I'm feeling so good about this offense. I may brave it.
A little too giddy about this club.
I can be giddy so long as I don't say anything about your team.
Bro, it's April 14th.
I'm looking you in the eye. I'm not saying anything about your team.
I appreciate it.
You came in here after 3 days into this. Who'd y'all beat? Minnesota or something? You're saying, look at the standings, Jason. And I'm not even going to tell you to look at the standings. I'm not going to make this about your team. It's about respect to Craig Counsell and the Cubs offense. You see PCA yesterday? 2 home runs.
I didn't. Missed it.
Because you don't want to pay attention.
Too busy watching the Cardinals win their series against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Watching the Cardinals and the Lausanne Lynx. Jake back on the field?
He's back.
Respect burger to Jake. Give it to him.
Oh, wow. Really?
We're back on the field.
We're back on.
We are 6'3 or 6'4 now. How tall are we?
I think we're in the 6'4 range.
This dude is 6'4, John. His son is 6'4, going to be starter at Lausanne. We're coming off.
We're rehabbing.
We're rehabbing.
We're doing spot innings.
Bro.
Much of it JV at this point. We're trying to get back on the field. We had a broken finger for a couple of months.
This is a big time for Jake. We get back on this field.
As long as the books are in order, I'm happy.
Brad, I don't want you putting any extra pressure on him because I know he's already feeling it. I know he's feeling it. Let him know that the midday show, with John,
the number one,
we are all behind him. Behind him in the rest of his junior season.
This is the junior season.
Respect burger to Jake, to you as a Lausanne Lynx man, and good luck to your red team the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Love it. Is that all your respect burgers, Jason?
That's it, man. Go on, give him one of your Jeremy dogs. We know it's sickly. You spit on it.
It's going to go to Lou Williams again, man.
What? You can't keep doing this to Lou, dude. What do you do this time?
Well, he said that kids turn their back on Ja Morant. I don't know if that was a new comment or what, but Ja, not only did you send me all this stuff with all the celebrations over the weekend of Ja, but also he had the number 8 selling jersey in the NBA this year, according to NBA.com. How about that?
What number is 8?
8.
Yeah.
Wow.
Top 10. Pretty good.
It's very good.
Mm.
I saw kids last night doing at the game in the afternoon. Tons of kids. One of the assistant coaches' kids was doing it. There were 10 kids in front of me doing the grenade celebration. Like, it's taken over. This 2-minute clip that Jason turned me onto, I just watched it.
Well, because you can tell your mom it's words.
Yeah, it's words. It's not weapons, not words.
Even the kiddies can do it.
Words, not weapons. Words, not weapons.
So it's even, I mean, the fact that Ja opened that up and let you can tell mom even in the third grade.
The real key, though.
These are what my words, mom.
If you do it correctly, though, you have to unclip the thing before you throw it. A lot of people don't unclip it with their mouth. That's what really makes it when you rip the clip off and then.
But see, Ja says that's him pulling the words out.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the clip. It's cool.
You continue to believe that it's a grenade. And those, the one, look well, at, you know, and that's the great thing about it is that it can be
it's
spun
an
both
illusion.
Ways.
It's good.
But Ja has doubled down that this thing is a word bomb.
Yes.
It's his words. He doesn't care what you say about him. Yeah. He's not listening.
Yeah, and the good news is he didn't undo a, you know, on internet or anything. There's no weapons on the internet. It's just words. Yeah.
Real quick, guys who didn't get over the hump, I have some submissions. Ewing, Barkley, Stockton, Malone.
Oh.
All great ones and obvious ones. Also, another good one, Jim Kelly. Losing
all
those Super Bowls.
That's the biggest one.
Now, get a little bit different because Rory had won majors, but no way, everybody thought he's just never going to win a Masters and complete it. Those are good ones. Barkley is that. He never got the title. I mean, Shaq's got him forever, you know, and holding it above all over. Patrick Ewing's because of Mike. Stockton Malone because of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Kelly just because it was the Bills. But those are great ones. Appreciate you, Marcus Martin. One of our listeners. So I had a bunch of obvious submissions we didn't hit.
How did we miss Jim Kelly? He's the
Jim
best of
Kelly
all.
Is right. I mean, that's what.
Three.
Again, that's like the bet, the ones that never won the big one. You know, that's right. That and you, yeah, man. Man, Jim Kelly. And he was at Jim Kelly, held play. Andre Reed on those teams. And was it Lofton? I think it was Lofton.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other guy. John, you okay? You going to be able to make it through the rest of the hour? Sound like you got that. Did Sam put that Vicks rub on your chest?
That's right, man. I'm excited.
Good.
So let's get the Jeff Calkins on the other side. Jeff Calkins, 92.9, back in a minute.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Tie Moving is changing, moving the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. They get that at Black Tie Moving. They're going to make it really easy for you. They're going to stay on budget. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. Every time I've used Black Tie, I have been more than pleased, and so will you. But you got to call them, get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the number. It's Black Tie Moving. They're changing, moving the city of Memphis. Call today. Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Tom's over the Daily Memphian. Joins us every Monday. He joins us now. Hello, friend. How are we?
I'm good. And y'all?
Peachy.
Doing great. Good. Which Memphis sports team has the brightest future?
The Grizzlies.
What would be your logic?
Because the Grizzlies, I mean, just structurally. You were talking about the big three, right? The Memphis basketball, Memphis football, and the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Structurally, the Grizzlies don't have it all going on because it is harder. I mean, we've seen they try to get Kevin Durant or they try, you know, whatever. They try to get a star. It's difficult for them to do it. They have less money than other teams. They have things working against them structurally. But the structural impediments to success for the Grizzlies are not nearly as daunting as the structural impediments to success, certainly for Memphis football. Like, there's a hard cap on what Memphis football can be at this moment. So if you want to say bright future is winning a conference title, well, yes, but they literally can't they can't do what the Tigers or the Grizzlies theoretically can do, which is win the championship in their sport. They just can't. And so then the question is whether it's the Grizzlies or the Tigers. And I think we're seeing with this offseason and the way that college basketball is going, we've seen the impediments rising to the Memphis Tigers' success, something you wrote about in a column pretty recently. So I think you could argue that one. I think it's arguable. You could say, you know, that the Grizzlies, it's a little daunting as well, but I think it's more daunting for the Tigers.
That's big picture. How about just tomorrow night? How you feeling? I get all the reasons why. We should assume that Golden State will move on, the 6.5, 7, whatever the points are. But how are you feeling just about, you know, where this team is, how well Ja's playing, and what kind of one game chance do you give him tomorrow night?
I mean, you can't do anything other than say that this has been a certainly disappointing back half of the season. Clearly, right? It just has been. I don't think anyone who would deny it. They fired their flipping coach. You don't do that unless it's a disappointing back half of the season. So I can tell you all you want that by winning 48 games, they've done more than two-thirds of the Grizzlies teams that came before them, or they did more than the 2011 Grizzlies that went and knocked off the Spurs or whatever else. It's meaningless because context matters. This team is at a different place in its trajectory, and this team was in second place in the West just, you know, less than 2 months ago. So it's been a crushingly disappointing end to the season. Given that, I think it's an unbelievable opportunity. Like, I don't expect them to win. Of course I don't expect them to win. They're underdogs. Whatever. I don't know. Do you have 6.5, 7 now? I don't know what the latest number is. There's underdogs. They're underdogs. They haven't won in California all year long. I mean, whatever. They're 6-19 against the teams that are ahead of them in the West. They're 1-11 on the road against the teams that are ahead of them in the West, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So do I expect them to win? No. But the opportunity that they have, partly because it's the hated Warriors, mm-hmm. is kind of amazing that you can, if they can win this, if they can then get in a series against Houston, avoid the series against Oklahoma City, you can prove you can win in California. You can go a long way to saying, no, we're not the soft team people think we are. We're like, all you have to do is win one 48-minute basketball game against the Warriors team that just lost consecutive home games to the Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs in a meaningful game. Yep. This is not beating the Death Star Golden State Warriors. It is beating a Warriors team that just lost at home to the San Antonio Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. That is not an impossible thing to do. Is it going to be tricky? Yes. Is it trickier because you don't have Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark? Yes, of course it is. I don't expect them to win. But to have this opportunity, like to take John Moran, all he is right now in the national conversation is sort of this flaky dude who is more known for his celebrations than anything else. And while some people enjoy them, the general consensus is he's a head case. Charles Barkley said he pulled the plug on it and blew up the Grizzlies' whole season, whatever else. You go out there and you beat Steph and the Warriors, you remind people that you're John Morant, you're Jaren Jackson Jr., who just fouled out against the Warriors, and you're Draymond Green lecturing you about you're better than that.
Yep.
Well, you go dominate the Warriors, you're Zach Edey. The Clippers just pounded the Warriors on the boards.
Yep.
You go pound and you remind people, hey, man, a pretty damn good draft pick. You're Thomas Isolo, who are people like, they fired Taylor Jenkins for this Finnish dude. You go beat Steve Kerr. I think given the mess they made of their season, the opportunity that's in front of them is kind of amazing. And the reason that when I tell you that, like I can tell you that, hey, Grizzlies went in game two in 2015. They were 11-point underdogs. And Mike Conley, with a broken face, beat the Warriors in San Francisco in the back. I can tell you that in 2021, Ja Morant and the Grizzlies were underdogs in the play-in game. There was an elimination play-in game, and the Grizzlies won. They were underdogs in that one, and they won. And the reason that you don't believe, and I don't believe, and John certainly doesn't believe, that the Grizzlies are going to do that tomorrow night is because at bottom, we don't think that this Grizzlies team is what that 2015 team was, or even what the 2021 version of this team was. We think this team is soft and they're frauds.
Yeah, can't get stops.
That's why you don't believe it, right? And so that's the opportunity. All the more reason for them to say, yeah, fine, you say that, watch us, right? I think it is kind of amazing that they have – I can't think of a game where they've had as big a narrative-flipping opportunity as this game. And I don't know if they'll take advantage of it, but it's right there for them.
Real quick, and I know John's got more for you, but do you think it would be wise, and maybe there is a scenario, you win Tuesday, just saying this might be one of them, and John talked about it, say you go, you know, you have a series with Houston, it's either competitive or you win, where you say, you know what, Isolo is my guy, I don't need to do formal interviews this offseason, or do you think the prudent move is to, even if you like Isolo, to go ahead and still do interviews, still, you know, go out and look, throw the net out there if you haven't started already. You know, what do you think here? Is there a road you go down where you know, now it's done, or do you think ultimately no matter what the road is, you should interview other candidates?
I mean, generally speaking, to me, it's always silly not to at least see what else is out there, right? To me, it doesn't depend on the W's and L's, though. It doesn't depend on anything other. The only circumstance under which I wouldn't do that, if Ja, Jaren, and Dez come to me and say, hey, this is our guy.
I got
and
you.
Ja says, if you know,
yep.
It's not about what happens. It's about the relationships. And if it's very clear that I'm not saying it is at all, but if that's what would happen, if the three guys come and say, he's a guy we believe in and can win with, and don't you dare go hire someone else.
Right.
To me, then you, whatever, you can look around. But if your three dudes are all in and Jaren's about to be a free agent, whatever else, or could be after this year, beyond that, just from a global level, I do think it makes sense to see who's out there and to have conversations. I think that makes all the sense in the world. But I think a lot of this, so much of the future of the Grizzlies coaching staff depends on those internal relationships
100%.
Between Isolo and the players.
100%.
What have you made of the last few weeks from Ja, you know, who's got the number 8 selling jersey in the NBA? I was told that he's losing the kids. That's what Lou Williams told me.
I mean, I've thought the – I mean, you know, honestly, it's one of the good things that's happened under Isolo, right? Is that he's back and he's playing and he is clearly engaged and he's good job. And he has had great history against the Warriors. He just scored 36, I think it was, the other day against the Warriors. I just think it is so funny because, you know, the unsportsmanlike guys who precede my show, they were ripping him for the hand grenade celebration that isn't a hand grenade celebration, whatever, but we all know it is a hand grenade celebration. I just couldn't believe it. Like in the end, I was disappointed when Jad did the gun thing after he was told not to do the gun thing, even though I think it's a double standard to have him not do the gun thing, but everybody else does the gun thing. I was still disappointed that he did it. I didn't, you know, I thought that was making more difficulty for but the hand grenade thing's genius. I mean, it's hilarious. It's genius. As Chris Harrington pointed out, is so cartoonish, but there's nothing threatening about it. You know, it's tweaking the NBA with a smile. It is brilliant. And I think that's why people pick up on it. I mean, I sent you, John, that tweet from someone who once said, I don't know when it was. It was someone, I don't know who it was on Twitter, said, Ja Morant is like Allen Iverson without any of the good stuff, right? Without any of the authenticity, any of the whatever, you know, that made Allen Iverson Allen Iverson. To me, like the fact that you're telling me that he's got his jersey selling and we know that the celebration went viral, I think it's Iverson-esque, actually. You know, I think there is this sort of, you know, appeal, you know, it's sort of, not the mainstream, it's tweaking the mainstream appeal to Ja Morant that he has cultivated. And I think it's been, I just thought it was hilarious to see soccer players and hockey players and Memphis baseball players and all doing the celebration. Drew Hill said that in Denver, they were, they were throwing her hand grenade back, the imaginary hand grenade back, fans were. And can you imagine if they do happen to beat Golden State tomorrow night, what that explosions are going to be like? It's just going to be brilliant. I really do. I can't tell you how much fun a victory would be tomorrow night for all kinds of reasons.
Hey, is there a line with PJ, excuse me, as it relates to what you've got in your budget? John schooled us on NIL here the last few weeks, and you've written and you knew this was going to be tough, and especially as you get into revenue sharing, as you is in terms of for Memphis and competing, particularly for that program at national level. Is there a line, Jeff, for PJ Haggerty that you do not cross when it comes to how much you're paying him, how much you have left, like there was clearly a line for, and clearly there are differences in the situation, but there was a line for Tennessee that they said, no, we can't go, can't give you more, we're not going to do this. Is there a line for PJ where you stop because you can't put together something decent enough or competent enough to compete at a national level around him?
I mean, at some imaginary level, of course there's a line. If he won $20 million, that's over the line, right? You know, I mean, there is a line. It is, as you point out, though, there's a huge difference. I do think, like, everyone's applauding Tennessee for saying what they said to Nico and whatever else. You know, that no man, no one person is bigger than the program, all that stuff. Go Tennessee. Yeah, good for you, right? I get that, all that. If he were the best quarterback in the country, they would not have said that.
100%.
You know? And so a lot of it was a business decision. He's a pretty good SEC quarterback, and we aren't going to do this for him, because that's what he is, right? And we think there are better alternatives, and we're Tennessee, and we can get better alternatives. It'll be interesting to see if they can get a better one for this season.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the question that you have with Memphis. If you aren't spending that money on PJ Haggerty, who are you spending it on, and what is the likelihood of you getting them, right? Like you have a in with PJ Haggerty. You know he likes it here. He knows he can have success here, whatever else.
Yep.
So theoretically, you meet that number, you can get him. I don't know, and maybe this is a question more for John. Like, where else is there to spend your money?
No, it's like you're saying, you might be. It's like kind of like, well, what you're saying. You might be too far down the road because you've missed on other guys that you could have been, right, John? That you potentially could have been.
Yeah.
You know, trying to sway with that with PJ money.
Right? But I've heard some crazy numbers for him. Now, who knows if it's true?
Just,
you know, who knows
if it's all, obviously talk radio,
you know, real. But I've heard some crazy numbers for PJ.
What are the crazy numbers?
I heard one school was willing to offer $5
million. Well, if that were true, why wouldn't he just take it then? You know.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that's true. Like, you know. Yeah, that's very fair, because that's not what anybody's getting, and you know, so, some guys are getting like, I mean, Debonta BYU is getting like $7 million, but that's like a unique case,
right?
You know, everybody else get like three-ish. At the high level.
I mean, so, I don't know. How much do you worry about Memphis? I just worry. I do. It makes me sick. Because once upon a time, let's be honest, there were shoeboxes full of cash once upon a time in the old days, right? But fundamentally, Memphis had an advantage because they had tradition, because they had geographic pipeline with Memphis kids, right? And then because they were willing to be a little shady on the side, right? So that's why they recruited. They recruited the tradition. They recruited people who knew they cared, their atmosphere, all that stuff, shoebox of cash, et cetera else, and all of that stuff. Plus Memphis high school kids who grew up wanting to play at Memphis. That is the distant past now. Those things don't matter, most of those things. And so I just – how much do you worry – about the future of Memphis basketball to be what it has always been, even if it's sometimes just clinging to being that entity that it's always, like, how much, John, do you worry that the best Memphis basketball as we know it is threatened?
A lot, because there are 15 teams in college basketball this year that have $10 million budgets. 15. Like, Terps only got 68. There are a lot of teams that have $6, $7, $8 million budgets. You know, and so I worry a lot. I think, you know, Memphis is obviously, they have a lot on their plate. Like, they have to figure out what they want to be, and
when they want to spend their money because it's not endless.
Let me ask you this. Penny has always been, but, when you get Penny, right, when Penny talks, he's really candid, right? He says what he thinks. And sometimes he says what he might wish, to whatever. But do you think that at some point, if this goes the wrong way for Memphis, that Penny will get an unvarnished view of Penny and competing in this world, but that he didn't have the – if this is true, that he didn't have the ammunition that he needed?
Yeah, I think so. But, let's see. You know, things can change, you know. Right. I mean, you can get some more money, but I think as of right now, that's what he would tell you, yes. He doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough ammo. So it's weird. Yeah. It's weird to go from being the best, like one of the best in the country a year ago, to now you're just average. You know, like that's such a strange, but again, revenue sharing just changed everything. It really did.
Thank you, guys. Sorry, someone's walking into this coffee shop.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. We'll get to you later. Appreciate you.
Okay, good. See you. Yeah, bye-bye. Thanks.
He is Jeff Coffins. Join us every single Monday here on the show. Hey, if you're going to be betting, make sure you do it on Zen Sports, Z-E-N Sports. Download the app today. They got everything you need. They got NBA. They got baseball. Everything else that's going on in the world of sports. Great app. Great customer service. Download it today. Z-E-N Sports. They're going to be running some contests and sweepstakes, I'm sure, so that you can have even more incentive to be betting over at Zen Sports. Download the app today. It's Zen Sports, Z-E-N Sports. Betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.